One of the announcements that I forgot to make that you probably have already realized is that our bulletins are from last week. We decided that that made the most sense, and we added in a slip in there to tell us what the additions were for this week along with altar flowers. So just wanted to make sure that you weren't imagining things. We didn't go back to the future or anything. We just wanted to point that out. So. Good morning again, Orums, and I would ask if you would please pray with me. Lord, we come before you humbly, and we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. We thank you so much for bringing us to another day, and we ask that you would just speak to us in this service. That you would remind us of your presence, your ever-present presence in our lives and in our places. Everywhere, you say you're with us everywhere, Lord. And so remind us of that this day. And Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way so that your message could be proclaimed and that everything that we do would be glorifying to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, I spent a lot of time on the road. I went to Wesley Theological Seminary all week, every day, in D.C., for a short two-week intensive class. And it went well, and it finished just in time so that I could start my classes this past week for the spring semester. So it was really nicely bunched together. And it's exciting, though. It is exciting to be there and to have the opportunity to go to school like this. But in the time that I was traveling down there, I had the pleasure of commuting 4 out of the 5 days to Wesley with a really good friend. He was my roommate the first year I was there. And we drove down there each day, taking turns driving. And we probably talked the whole time there and the whole way back. We caught up on things that we didn't have a chance to catch up on last semester, and it was a really good time for as much as a trip to Washington, D.C. on 95 can be a good time in the morning or in the afternoon. But it is always great when you can catch up with a friend. But see, in that time, there was really not a lot of silence. There was a lot of talking, and that was good. And I loved talking to, and I loved listening to Don as we talked about just about everything, which probably helped my presence in those conversations. That is, it helped me be active, to be present in them, in those conversations. You know, because sometimes we can be a part of a conversation, but we're really just hearing things. We aren't really listening. We just kind of know that the other person's talking and we're either thinking about something else entirely, being preoccupied, or we're thinking about the next thing that we want to say in the conversation, or in those rare instances we're bored to tears and we're zoned out completely from the conversation. But in many conversations, in many of these, we can be there in the conversation with the other person, but not really listening because we just aren't present. We just aren't present there. Our bodies are there. We may even be nodding and responding like we're listening, but in reality, our minds are somewhere else. We aren't very present. And so this idea of being present and listening, not just hearing, but listening, has something to do with this passage, I think. And so we opened up the passage with some background knowledge that visions and word from God was very rare in those days. And we would call that foreshadowing, right? Because in the passage we experience a calling out of Samuel by God, a vision. Samuel receives a vision later. And we also learn that Eli, who has been the high priest, he's aged, and his vision, his eyesight, has grown dim. So those parallel. And so we just read the story, and you know it, and Samuel, who's just a boy serving the Lord in in the temple is sleeping in the holiest of holies there before the Ark of the Covenant. And he's sleeping where the Israelites believed God lived. He's sleeping where they thought that God physically lived on the Ark. And he hears this voice call out to him, "Samuel, Samuel." Well, this happens two times, and both times he thinks that it's Eli who is calling him out. And so he runs to Eli, and all the priest tells him to do is go back and lie down because I didn't call you. Stop bothering me. Stop waking me up, you know? But on the third time, Eli realized something. He understands that God is the one calling Samuel. He understands that it's God calling Samuel. It's like before Eli just heard Samuel say that he was there because Samuel thought that Eli called him. But now Eli was actually listening. And so he realizes that it's God who's calling Samuel. And the instructions from Eli are different now. Because he tells Samuel to go back. He tells him to go lie down. And when God calls the next time, he's to respond with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel goes back and he does exactly that. God calls out again and Samuel responds, letting God know that he is now listening, that he is ready to listen. And so one of the interesting things that stuck out to me when I read this in verse 10 is that, and I've read this so many times before, but it says that God physically came and stood there in Samuel's presence. It says the word stood, and I looked at different translations, and it always says stood there. And so I thought that was really interesting to see that. Another thing that was interesting is that, of course, Samuel, we always have to be reminded of this. Samuel wasn't anyone special. You know, he falls in line with a lot of our heroes in the Bible that weren't special. Because he was born to Hannah, who was barren. She couldn't have kids for most of her life. And then she prayed that if she did have a son, that she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And so she went to Eli, same priest, and prayed before him. And then they prayed together for this to happen. And then she had Samuel. And so when Samuel was very young still, she took him to Eli, who was the high priest at the temple in Shiloh, and dedicated him there. He was still just a boy. He wasn't anything special. Children were not what children are to us today. They were looked down upon in most of those. They were just around. We focus so much on our kids, but children in those days were just there. And so he wasn't anything special, but he was still just a child when God spoke to him here in this passage. And God picked him to be his prophet too, to speak for him. Later on in this chapter, condemning Eli and Eli's sons who were harassing people. His sons were harassing people and stealing from the sacrificial offerings that were brought to the Lord by the Israelites. And Eli did nothing about it, so Eli was condemned along with his sons. And so, just again, another reminder that God can use anyone, anyone, for his will, for his kingdom. Because if you read further in this book, you're going to see that God uses Samuel as a prophet to judge and to win battles, to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel and David as the true king later. And God used a boy from humble beginnings to do great things. You really can't make this stuff up. But Samuel and Eli, for that matter, they had to be present. They had to listen for the Lord. They had to be intentional and listen for him. Not just hear him, but listen. And out of that listening came all of those great things that I mentioned that Samuel did. But they had to be still. They had to know that God was leading them and to trust the voice when he called them. And I think that's what we need to remember today. Because we live in a time where it's very hard to be still. We have computers, we have Facebook, we have 24-hour news cycles, and we have Twitter, which the name Twitter just sounds busy, you know? It just sounds like tweeting, right? I mean, it's just so much. We have phones that are computers in our pockets. So we have all this stuff, plus the TV, plus the radio, plus video games, plus all these things going after our attention all the time. And we have so many of these things that pull us around from here to there. And we can't focus on anything. We just hear a lot of noise. And listening in most of our minds is for those that have the luxury to be able to take the time to listen. And most of the time, we just don't feel like we have the time to do that. And so we bounce from one thing to another, never taking the time to breathe, never taking the time to focus on what we're doing or who we're talking to. So I'll tell you a story. I told Laura what God had put on my heart for this sermon, right? I said that I was going to be talking about listening versus hearing. And so when I told her this, she asked me, you know, jokingly, she said, so what of the thousand of examples are you going to give in your sermon of when you don't listen to me, but you hear me, right? And so I just looked at her and I said, I'm sorry, what did you say? I didn't really say that. I would have gotten in trouble probably. And then two, I'm not that quick-witted, so, you know. But I was listening to her. And she's not even here, but I was listening to her. And I could really give 1,000 examples. I'm not going to right now, but I could give 1,000 examples of it. Because I'm not, I'll be honest, I'm not very good at listening sometimes because I am bouncing from one thing to another, driving to class to dropping off the kids from here to there, and I just need to slow down sometimes. And I'm convinced that we all need to. Even if we think we already do, I think we need to be more intentional about our focus, more intentional about our listening, because we hear so much, but do we actually listen? And then how does that listening of those things actually change our lives? How does that change our lives? How do our relationships grow? To be present in our situations, in our conversations, I think our marriages could grow. They could heal. I think our friendships could grow and heal. I think we could impact more people's lives for Christ if we actually just listen to each other. And we listen to God speak to us. And so we need to listen to what God is telling us. And I think Jesus, our Lord, gave us a good model for now not bouncing from one miracle event to another. He gave us a great model of what intentionality looks like because people were coming after him all the time. You know, they were coming after him in flocks to see him and to be healed. But if we look at Jesus' ministry, he took the time to stop. He took the time to relax, to focus on his relationship with his Father, God, and that is to see what God was actually saying to him. And so the first piece that we can model from him is taking the time to stop the bouncing in our lives on a kind of overbooked, busy autopilot that we often have in our lives, and to seek the solitude so as to focus on God and to listen for what God has to say for us. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, and Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 33, Jesus wanted to go to a deserted place after learning of the death of John the Baptist. The Matthew passage says that he went there to be alone. But the Mark passage says that Jesus sought time to be with his disciples and to pray. But the crowds, they had a different plan. They interrupted this, and the feeding of the 5,000 occurred. After the feeding, though, it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and Mark chapter 6, verse 46, that Jesus sent his disciples away. And he went up the mountain to pray by himself for a while. Jesus sought solitude with God for peace, for direction, for renewal. And we should use these for examples along with others like Luke chapter 6, verse 12, where Jesus spent the night in prayer with God on a mountain and he chose his 12 apostles the next day. And we should use these examples to model our lives off of. We need to seek time alone with God in prayer. And Jesus, even sometimes, he did bring his closest friends together, kind of like a retreat, to pray together, like in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 2, where he took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain. And of course, that's where the transfiguration happened. And so out of Jesus' prayer, this is important, out of Jesus' prayer in solitude, Jesus walked on water. He healed many more people, and he was transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah for Peter, James, and John to see. So if we look at Jesus as a model, being alone with God in prayer, listening to God guide us, leads to great things in our lives and for those of us around us. So we should seek to model our lives after Jesus, to seek God, to be still, to seek solitude sometimes, and just listen for God in prayer. The second thing, and there are only two, I didn't do three, there are only two, but the second thing we should model from Christ about how to be present, is about how to be present and listen, is that when Jesus had conversations with others, he was deeply engaged with them. He listened to them, what the others had to say, and so that he could talk with them, so that he could have those conversations with them. He took the time not to just hear what those other people had to say, but he listened to them. He listened to their intentions. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, after talking about John the Baptist, he said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." And I would argue that Jesus is saying more about listening here than just hearing in reference to what we're talking about. But still, the point is made. Just look at how Jesus responds to those like the Pharisees that accuse him of being blasphemous. When they ask him that question about should we pay taxes to Caesar in Mark chapter 12, verse 13 to 17. I think Pixie preached on this a couple of months ago. They asked him, trying to trap him, of being against the Roman Empire, not paying taxes. And so they said to him in verse 14, "Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, but you're not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But see, knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." And so they brought him one. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And so Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. See, Jesus not only listened to their questions, but he engaged deeply with them and what he perceived that they were trying to do to him. He listened to them. He was present in the moment with those that he spoke with. And so the same can be said even for the woman at the well, who when speaking with Jesus, Jesus knew her life and offered her good news. Her life was rough. She either made a lot of bad choices or she lived through a lot of bad choices. And yet Jesus offered her salvation that day through himself as the living water that would help her never thirst again. She was so overjoyed that Jesus did this and engaged with her, that Jesus listened to her and offered her, a Samaritan woman who had five husbands, the joy of salvation. That she went and told many more. She was so overjoyed that she told many more in her Samaritan village, and many believed in Jesus as the Savior of the world. And so we should strive to be present in our conversations, listening more. Not just hearing what others have to say, but listening. Being like Jesus in this regard will strengthen our relationships with people and with God in our prayer lives. And we may not be able to do it alone. We will likely have to ask God for help to focus in life, to be present in our conversations. asking God to help us to focus on controlling our minds, to help us to be present with others in our conversations, to help us to be focused in our prayers, and to help us to focus on prioritizing reading the Bible. And so one of the things that I always do, try to do when I read my daily devotions or my reading and writing and journaling, is before I read, I ask God in a prayer beforehand for God to reveal to me what God would like me to see in the Scripture, whatever I'm reading for that day. I ask God this because I want to be able to hear. I want to be able to hear what He might say so that I would be intentionally listening for His call in the text. And here's something neat, too, where I saw God speaking. Was I, in my daily devotions, in my reading and writing and my journaling, because I do reading and writing and journaling just about every day, I had just started reading through the book of 1 Samuel last week. And I had to bring a text to my class on Monday, that week-long intensive class. And I had selected a passage from Romans 6 that was really good. I really love Romans 6, and I was prepared to read that. But on Monday morning, I woke up, and I read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. It was just the text that I came to that morning for my reading and writing. And I loved it, so I decided to read it for class. And later in the day, I was deciding, just trying to decide what scripture to pick to preach on. And I usually plan it way out in advance, but for last Sunday, I just had no idea. I didn't do it for some reason, which is weird. So I looked on the lectionary website, and I saw that one of the texts for the week was 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And so I went back to my class, and I was excited about it. I told them that I had no idea and that this had happened, and they said, "You have to preach that." And so I listened. You know, it was somewhere that God, I felt like, was speaking to me. And so it shouldn't really be any different for the rest of our lives. You know, we should be looking and listening throughout all of our lives. Our prayers should be, "Lord, help me to focus in my life. Help me to pay attention. Help me to listen for you today, to listen for your call on my life." Wherever that call would lead us for that day. Maybe it would lead us to praying for someone that we would dare never talk to. Or maybe it would lead us to offer someone help that we would normally just shy away from, leaving it to someone else. Or perhaps it would lead us to just trying to be a faithful witness for Christ in our families, in our friendships, in our communities, in our workplaces. But seeking God's help and being present in life is the start, and listening for God's direction is the next. And then humbly proclaiming to God daily, whether we hear directly through a voice from God like Samuel did in our passage today or not, we always need to be saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And let that be our prayer. Let's truly mean it, and let us watch as God speaks to us and transforms our lives through the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, please rise and join in singing our hymn of response.